And I know your church has had a long-term relationship with the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse and the ministry there, but I just want to start out by thanking you for partnering together with Renee and I as we are ministering there in Antigua and reaching the lost souls of the Eastern Caribbean. And not just the lost, but also those that are believers, being able to edify them with good doctrinally sound and biblical teaching. We have been in Antigua since February 2004, and it has gone by extremely fast. There were some trying days, but there have been some wonderful days also. And I can honestly say, and Renee would agree with me, 2012. My brain was elsewhere as I was speaking. Multitasking is not one of my strengths, but God gave me my wife to keep me in line. So we've been there since 2012, a very fast 4 years. It hasn't gone by quite that fast, but God has been very good. There have been challenging days, but there have been days of great joy. And overall, the best joy, the greatest joy that I've ever experienced in my life is serving the Lord and serving the Lord there in Antigua. And we could spend the whole evening talking about how we know that the Lord has us there in Antigua. Just many different ways that it was almost as if he was, if you think of Renee as a puzzle piece and myself as a puzzle piece, and then the ministry there in Antigua as the puzzle. And as the waits and the bakers were looking toward, because of age, pulling out of that ministry and coming back to stateside ministry, the Lord was shaping Renee, the Lord was shaping me, the Lord brought us together, and our abilities and our talents as an engineer and as an accountant took us down there, and we're very thankful for the 4 years that we were able to overlap with Jerry and Linda Baker and learn from them, many years of experience and wisdom, and the transition, the management transition has gone very well. Since October 1st, I've been serving as the manager and the engineer, and that has gone well. The staff has been very supportive. I just want to share that not only has the Lord blessed the ministry there of the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, but we've been able to be very active in our local church, Grace Baptist Church. And I won't list every way that the Lord has allowed us to be involved, but Renee does the church and school finances. We both serve on the school board the school board. The church has a elementary school of 320 students, and so we're able to assist in that ministry. And the pastor's asked me to be in charge of the building maintenance, facility maintenance there on campus, and just a lot of different ways to be able to plug in. Renee's been able to help out a lot with special music, and I had the opportunity to install a sound system for the church and oversee that project. So just a lot of ways we could go on and on. But one of the ways that the Lord has allowed us to be involved there at Grace Baptist Church is with the youth group and helping out with the youth ministry. And when we started out helping with that ministry, there was a young man by the name of Kieron. And the first Friday night of youth group, I came in and there was a young guy sitting on the back pew. So I sat down beside him. I said, "Hey, how are you doing? What's your name?" Started building a relationship. We had common interest in auto racing and started to build a relationship and found out that his mother had recently made a profession of faith. And then I said, "Well, Kieron, do you have a relationship with Christ?" And he said, "Well, I've thought about it. My mom keeps trying to tell me I need to, but I'm not really sure." So I had an opportunity to go through the plan of salvation. What does it mean to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And I said, "Kieron, is this something you're interested in?" He said, "It's something I'm interested in, but I'm just not ready." I said, "Kieron, I can't force you, but I'm praying for you. Renee's praying for you. The other youth leaders are praying for you. Just think about it." And the next week I saw him and I said, "How are you doing, Kieron? How was school this week?" And he said, It's going all right. I've been thinking about it, but I'm not ready." I said, "Well, we're praying for you. When you're ready, let us know. And you don't even have to wait for one of us to talk to you. You can just cry out to God." And the next Sunday night, in good Caribbean style, after the church service had started, Kieron came walking in. We were singing the first or second hymn, and I was standing by the back door. I was ushering, and he came walking in, and I said, "Kieron, how are you doing? How was your week at school?" And he didn't even answer my question. He just said, "I'm ready." And it kind of caught me off guard, and I said, you're ready. And so I said, "Let me grab my Bible," and we went back to pastor's office. And I said, just tell me what you're ready for. And he went through the plan of salvation, and he said, I don't remember where that verse was, but you shared a verse with me that said this and this. And so we went through the plan of salvation, and I said, Kieran, I want you just to talk to God as you've been talking to me. Not that the prayer saves you, but I just want you to talk to God. And I said, I'm just going to be quiet, and I want you to talk to God. So I bowed my head, and I'm waiting for him to pray. And it's quiet for a while, and then he says, Nathan, one more question. What if I interrupt God? And just with the sincerity that he wanted to make sure that God heard his prayer. And so I took the opportunity to say, Kieran, God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God, if we're all praying at the same time, God hears us all and comprehends it all. And he prayed and accepted the Lord as his Savior. And he was on fire for the Lord. And he invited his best friend from school, Eric. And Eric came to youth meeting and got saved. And Eric turned around and invited his cousin, Kenny. And Kenny came to youth meeting and got saved. And to see in a matter of like 6 weeks, young men getting saved and inviting their friends and their relatives was an encouragement and did something for my own spiritual life. And then Kieran said, Nathan, you're encouraging me to study God's word. My mom's telling me I should be studying God's word. And I can read it, but I don't know, where do I start? And he said, you think there's any possibility that you could go to work early? He knew that at that point, as the engineer, I was more project-focused, so I had flexible hours. He said, do you think you could go to work early so you could get off early and pick me up from school so we could read a couple of chapters, you could teach me how to study God's word, and then you could take me home and then go finish your work hours? So we did that for a couple of weeks, a couple days a week, and then we transitioned to an hour before youth meeting on Friday nights, and It was a blessing to me and a rebuke to me. For those of you that have discipled and mentored people before, especially new believers, you will never have all the answers. I will never have all the answers. But it keeps you on your toes to have someone asking you those questions that we just take for granted and to be able to see that excitement and enthusiasm in their lives. And let me ask you to pray for, I'm going to give you four prayer requests, and the first one would be Kieran. If you want to write these down, that would be great. If not, remember what you can, but Keron, he'll turn 16 in June. I ask you to pray for Kieran because he's made some choices in his life. He knows what God's word says about dating an unsaved girl, but he has chosen to date an unsaved girl. He's made some relationships and some friendships that have turned his focus from God to the world. And just pray that God would get a hold of Kieran in a way that he can't deny, and that he would completely surrender his future and all of his abilities and talents to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for my sake, not for the fact that I was able to lead him to the Lord, and that in the future, that if he's in full-time ministry or just serving an active member in the church, that I can say, hey, I led him to the Lord. No, not for my sake, but for the name of Jesus Christ, that he would get the honor and the glory. So if you can pray for Kieran, if you can also pray for Renee and I as we are on furlough. We're here for 3 months. We arrived March 1st, and Lord willing, we'll head back to the Caribbean June 1st. And so we're halfway through that, and we have about 30 churches that we're visiting in that 3 months, which many weeks means Sunday morning at one church, Sunday evening at another church, and Wednesday evening at yet a third church. And so it's very busy, but God has been gracious. I've been fighting a cold over this last week and a half, but the Lord seems to be giving strength to my body and seem to be coming out of it. So excuse me if my voice starts to fail before the end of the evening, but pray for good health and safety as we're on furlough. So Kieran, our 3-month furlough, that it would be a blessing, not just for us to recharge our batteries, but also as we share what the Lord has done in Antigua. And then 2 requests for the station. If you can pray for the station's finances. Before I share that, let me share this. Renee and I went to the field 100% supported. Every day that we were on the field for 4 years, we were 100% supported. And we come back 4 years later, Pastor, to God be the glory, we're 100% supported. And we are thankful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for that. As Renee and I are supported as a missionary couple, entity, the radio station is also supported as a missionary entity, and they've done that since 1974 when the station was incorporated in order to keep the cultural barriers down. We don't want to raise funds there on the air because we don't want them saying, oh, the rich American station, they're taking our money when they have more money than us. Our goal is to support it as a missionary entity. The station is 70% supported of where it needs to be financially going forward. And as the new station manager, I have some passions, some dreams, some goals. I'm a firm believer in always pressing forward and pressing toward a mark. And if the Lord wants to change that timetable, I'm willing and flexible, but always pressing forward. And one of my goals is to not just maintain the current listenership that we have, but reach out further. There's over 2 million people, potential listeners, in our listening area. And to tap into the younger generation. When you come visit us in Antigua and you go through the immigration line, many times when they're stamping their passport, your passport, the immigration officer will say, oh, I used to listen to the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse years ago when I was a child. But when you come to the younger generation, they aren't as familiar with the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. And some of that has to do with the fact that radio is not as, in all the world, radio is not as popular as it was. But radio is even more effective in the Caribbean to date than it is here in the States. But one of the goals is to bring in some new programs, not to change the standards of the stations, of the station, not to change the core values that we were founded on, but to relate to the listeners. And I know that word relate sometimes has been abused and misused, but one of my goals is to have a call-in program. And our pastor, Pastor David Murphy of the church that we attend, he's very learned, he's constantly studying, he's up trying to figure out, okay, what's going on in culture and how does scripture apply to that? And he's wanted to do a call-in program for a number of years. And right before we left, we purchased some equipment and installed the vast majority of it. So hopefully come September, we'll be able to do a call-in program. I want to get some big billboards around the island, some key intersections that say, got questions, and then put some key talking points that relate to you, whether you're 85 years old or whether you're 13 years old. Homosexuality. That's not as big of a deal in Antigua right now as it is here in the States, but it's just to give you an idea, in the last year, the U.S. government has sent down two pairs of religious liberal professors from religious schools teaching, or I should say misteaching, that homosexuality is accepted in the Bible. And so there is a very visible, active push from the UN, from the United States, and from England to the Caribbean countries and islands to accept homosexuality. And even to the point that they say, if you don't change your stand on these things, you're going to lose funding by this date. And so it's a very active talking point there. But homosexuality, religion versus Christianity, life after death, and then say at the bottom, listen, Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, Tuesdays, 3 p.m., call in with your questions. Just to allow, as you know, media is becoming more and more a two-way street rather than just the radio announcer speaking to you. It's becoming more and more interactive. And also some interview programs and different opportunities to relate to the listeners better. I share that to say, currently, we've had to drop the staff down to 4 days a week, the Antiguan staff, because we don't physically have the finances. So if you can pray for the station finances, and this isn't all the deficit, but one of my prayers, fervent prayers, is that by September, the Lord would provide an increase of $550 a month. And that would cover our staff coming back up to 5 days a week. That would be the monthly need to cover their salaries and the payroll taxes involved. So if you can pray not just for station finances, but specifically for $550 a month, we know the Lord is able, he is capable, and in his timing, I'm confident that he will provide. And then the fourth prayer request would be for certificate of good standing from the government of Antigua. And you say, well, what does that mean? Real quick, the station was incorporated in 1974, and the island of Antigua didn't get its independence and its own government until 1982, 83. So laws have changed. The station was originally incorporated in the best way they could, but looking back at it now, it's in an awkward category. And as such, many government offices are requiring us to fulfill the for-profit requirements and the non-profit category requirements, which is a real headache, if not impossible. And since the mid-90s, station management has been attempting to reincorporate as a nonprofit and get this cleared up. And it's gone something like this. They'll go to the first government office and they say, okay, do 1, 2, and 3, and then go over here. And so they do that. They do 1, 2, and 3, and they go over here. And this office says, why did you go over there first? You're supposed to know you're supposed to come here first. So it doesn't mean anything you went there first because you got to do all this first. And then once we've signed off, then you've got to do their stuff. So they do that. They do 7, 8, and 9. They go over here. The government party changes, and the whole process changes. It's a relatively young country. Things that we sometimes take for granted here in the U.S., that standardized procedures, are not necessarily something we can take for granted there. So we are attempting to get in good standing with the government of Antigua. Right before we left, we turned in 13 pounds or 28 years of audited financial statements. And we hope and pray that by the time we get back, our lawyer has been able to resolve some of the issue with the government of Antigua. And you say, well, what's important about this certificate of good standing? Why are you sharing this as a prayer request? Three things. We are unable to renew land leases with the government, and there's three land leases we need to renew. They expired in 99. We've been paying in good faith, but we need to renew them. And until we have that certificate of good standing, we're unable to renew that land lease. So to be able to renew land leases, also there are some bank accounts because of money laundering laws that we are unable to open without that certificate of good standing. And thirdly, we are unable, everything that we ship in, if your church buys the station $1,000 piece of equipment, sends it to Antigua, in order for me to get it across the post office counter into my hands, I have to pay 60% or $600 on that $1,000 piece of equipment. And so when we get that certificate of good standing, that should drop, Lord willing, down to hopefully 15%, which would be a huge savings. But if you can pray for those four things, Kieron, safety on furlough, the finances for the station, and good standing. I could go on and on about how the Lord has used us, has allowed us to be used there in Antigua, and some testimonies of how he has worked things out. We are honored to be partnered together with Pine Bluff Baptist Church there in Antigua and through the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse and Grace Baptist Church to minister to lost souls. If you turn with me for a few minutes here to Acts chapter 28. I know you've heard a lot of great preaching this last week, and I won't even attempt to compete with that, but I just want to share three areas of encouragement from the life of the Apostle Paul that have been an encouragement to me as far as being a persevering witness. And one of the things that I'm a firm believer in when I'm studying God's word is, what is the key thought, or what's a key question that can kind of bounce around in my mind and provoke some thought? And that question, as we're looking at Acts 28, I would like to ask you, how much would it take to stop you from persevering as a witness? How much would it take to stop you from being a witness? Or maybe I should phrase it this way, how little would it take to stop you from persevering as the witness that God would have you to be? I don't know if you pay attention to the Summer Olympics, but I'm not a huge sports fan, but I enjoy seeing people who have excelled to the highest level. Just seeing someone perform almost flawlessly over and over again. Go with me back to 1976. We're in Montreal. It's the Summer Olympics, and it's the men's gymnastics portion of the competition. And there's two favored teams. There's the Soviet team and the Japanese team. And on the Japanese team, there is a 26-year-old young man by the name of Shun Fujimoto. And you probably haven't heard his name before. And you say, well, why are you telling us about him? Let me share something with you. Shun Fujimoto was competing And in the floor routine, as he landed, he broke some bones in his knee. And those watching, those observing, weren't aware of it. But with those broken bones in his knee, the next day, the competition came down to who was going to win the gold medal, the Soviet team or the Japanese team. And Shun Fujimoto, at 26 years old, competed in the pommel horse competition. And he scored a 9.5 with broken bones in his knee. And I read a doctor's statement, and the doctor said, I have no earthly idea how Shun Fujimoto was able to compete, even do the routine, because of the pain, let alone score a 9.5 at the Olympic level. And he didn't stop there. He mounted the rings at 8.5 feet in the air with a look of confidence, a look of, this is what I have trained for. And he went through his routine almost flawlessly. And he dismounted the rings from 8.5 feet in the air, knowing that his knee hurt. And he landed and raised his arms as to tell the judges, I'm balanced. I have done my job well. And once the judges were satisfied, he fell on the floor screaming in pain and agony. And he scored a 9.7 on the rings with broken bones in his knee. And I share that not to say, man, that guy was stubborn, or man, that guy really was focused. No, I want you to think about this. Why was Shun Fujimoto persevering? He was persevering maybe for a gold medal. He was persevering for something that would be destroyed in eternity. He was persevering for his name to be written in the history books. He was persevering to stand there on the podium as his national anthem was played and have a gold medal hung around his neck. And if Shun Fujimoto could do that in the face of pain for a gold medal, why can you and I not persevere for lost souls around us that will last for all eternity? The Apostle Paul, real quickly in Acts 28, he's traveling to the Supreme Court, which is Caesar in Rome, Italy. And he is put on a ship, and they are shipwrecked after going through a horrible storm. And in verse number 12, let's look at chapter 28 and verse 2. And the barbarous, or the native people, showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. And many of us, I dare say probably 80, 90, 99% of us, could repeat this account of how the snake comes out and bites onto his hand, and the people around say, man, that same snake killed your best friend last week. That same variety of snake. That is a deadly snake. And they start whispering. But yet Paul refused to let circumstances hinder his witness. And I don't know what the circumstances are in your life tonight. I don't know if it's health. I don't know if it's financial. I don't know if it's relationship. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, let me encourage you to persevere. And the Apostle Paul, in verse number 4, he shakes it off, and they say, or in verse 5, he shakes it off. In verse 4, they're saying, man, this guy must be pretty bad. He escaped that storm like we haven't seen in a long time just to have this snake bite him. It must be karma. But yet he doesn't let what others are saying hinder his witness. Because later in the chapter, a couple verses down, they change their mind and say, he must not be a bad man. He must be a god. He survived this. And I'm sure that the Apostle Paul, that word got back to him. And people probably started saying, man, you're a god. Can we worship you? And I am sure, 100% positive, that the Apostle Paul did not let them call him a god. I'm sure that he turned that and said, let me tell you about the one true God that has changed my life. And he took a circumstance of health that could have put him into a panic, could have completely changed his focus from witnessing to others. But he didn't allow that to happen, and he turned it around and said, let me tell you about the one true God. And I don't know if it's circumstances that are hindering you from witnessing. The Apostle Paul went through a lot of circumstances in his life, And you know when you're watching a DVD and you hit the fast forward button and it's X1, X10, X20, X50, this is the life of the Apostle Paul at like X300, just what some of what's recorded in Scripture. He's put in prison over and over again. He's flogged an uncounted number of times. He's received 39 lashes from the Jews 5 times. And while I'm reading this, I want you to think about the last time that you started to witness to someone, maybe it was a coworker, and because you know that you have to see that person every day or you have to please that person in the workplace, you bit your tongue, or you put that track back in your pocket because in your mind you were worried, and that hindered you from witnessing. The Apostle Paul, it wasn't things in his mind that were hindering him. Even physical things didn't stop him from witnessing. He was stoned 1 time, shipwrecked 3 times, spent a day and a night in the sea. He was in continual danger from rivers, robbers, his own people, the Gentiles. I could go on and on. He was weary. He was often in pain. He was without sleep, and he was worried about himself. No. The Apostle Paul, during circumstances that would stop, many times stop me, and I dare say many times stop you, the Apostle Paul was focused on others. And that's one way that we can focus, keep circumstances for hindering our witnesses, focus on others. Now, I don't know if you are like me, but I am a planner. I am a list maker. And if I know there's a problem, let's say that bill, that blue board up there is a problem, I say, okay, what is encompassed? And I make a list of, I need this, this, and this. And I need to speak to Brother Mark because he's gone through a similar situation. He has words of wisdom. And then I'm going to do this in this order, in this order. And I try and, by the grace of God, move forward and attack it. But what about uncertainty in your life? The Apostle Paul did not let uncertainty hinder his witness. But what about that looming cloud of the unknown is a big question mark. You don't know what that medical test or that medical treatment's going to reveal. You don't know whether that loved one, how they're going to react to your attempt to reconcile a situation. And you say, well, Nathan, I don't think the Apostle Paul really had uncertainty in his life. Oh, really? The Apostle Paul is headed to the Supreme Court. This is his last appeal. He's going to Caesar. And it's not like he just the next week when he says, I want to appeal my case, the next week he's there. No. He's on this ship. He travels by land. He gets on this ship. He's shipwrecked. He's delayed months. And when he finally gets there, but in his mind, if I were him, my mind would be thinking, what if Caesar finds out? What if Caesar is having a rough week and he just wants to throw the book at someone, as the phrase goes? He just wants to punish someone on Friday afternoon when he hears my case. Will I ever make it back to Jerusalem alive? But he didn't let that uncertainty hinder him. And I don't want this just to be the Apostle Paul did this, and this is how he got through it. I want it to be the Apostle Paul did this, and this is what it looks like in your life, and this is what it looks like in my life. And if there's uncertainty hindering you tonight from being a witness, let me encourage you with 2 ways that the Apostle Paul got through uncertainty. First of all, he served others. In verse 7, in the same quarters were the possessions of the chief man or the governor of the island, and he lodged us there courteously. And in verse 8, it came to pass that the governor's father, or Publius's father, lay sick. Paul went in and laid hands on him. He prayed for him. He healed him by the power of God. And then in verse 9, so then when this was done, the others also who had diseases in the island came and were healed. The Apostle Paul got through times of uncertainty by serving others. And I'm sure if you asked your pastor, he would say the same thing, that if there is uncertainty in your life, keep your mind busy by serving others. In verse 14, we're going to skip forward. The Apostle Paul is now on dry land in Italy. And the second way that the Apostle Paul overcame uncertainty was by the encouragement of others. And 3 years earlier than this account, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church at Rome, and we call it the Book of Romans. And in that letter, the Apostle Paul made friends by writing that letter. And so as the Apostle Paul is traveling to Rome now, let's look at verse 15. And thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came out to meet us as far as Appial Forum. And you may read that and you may say, okay, they came out to meet him at Appial Forum and at Three Taverns. Well, in the margin of my Bible, I have written that Appial Forum is 43 miles outside of Rome. Three Taverns is 33 miles outside of Rome. So people are coming out, maybe not all of them from Rome itself, but they're coming out to encourage the Apostle Paul and say, listen, your letter that you sent to us was an encouragement to me. Now let me be an encouragement to you. Let's cry together a little bit. Let's pray together, and I am praying for you. And if you're saying, I'm not suffering from uncertainty this evening, Nathan, look around you. Someone here in this body of believers is. Encourage someone when they're going through uncertainty, and when you're going through uncertainty, they'll return the favor. That's one thing that's awesome about the body of believers. And the third thing that the Apostle Paul refused to let hinder his witness was inconvenience. And in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, I have wanted to come to you and visit you in Rome a number of times, but the Spirit of God has said, no, wait, it's not my time yet for you to go. But I dare say that when the Apostle Paul wrote that, he said, I want to come and encourage you personally. I want to come to your house church. I want to come to the beautiful gardens of Rome, not for the sake of the gardens, but for the people that are in the gardens. That's where the middle class people are. I just want to share with them my testimony and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I dare say that when the Apostle Paul wrote 3 years earlier, I want to come to Rome, he didn't have in mind having steel clamped around his wrist, 24 inches of chain connected to a Roman guard or a long line of prisoners. But when the Apostle Paul is headed to Rome as a prisoner, he doesn't say, well, I'm chained to someone. I can't go visit you in your home and encourage you. I can't go to your house church because I don't have that freedom. I'm chained to a Roman guard. I can only go with him certain places. I can't go to the gardens because they don't let the prisoners go there. I just can't be a witness. No, that wasn't the attitude of the Apostle Paul. He didn't say, man, this is an inconvenience. He said, this is an opportunity. God is bringing me in contact with people that I wouldn't have met otherwise. And he witnessed to Roman guards. And you say, how do you know that, Nathan? Well, remember in some of the books of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says in closing, so-and-so in the household of Caesar greets you. Those were powerful people. And in closing, let me just share this illustration with you. Today in Rome, you can see a plaster cut from the wall of the barracks in the Palace of Caesars, and on it is scratched a human figure with a donkey's head. The figure is nailed to a cross, and a man is pictured kneeling before it. The artwork is an obvious insult to a Roman soldier who has converted to Christianity, because below it, it says Anaximus worships his God. The Apostle Paul witnessed to Roman soldiers. And it didn't just stop there. Some of them got saved. And then they witnessed to their elite friends. And then it went from there. And that's what the Christian life is all about, is being a shining light, being a lighthouse, sending out the gospel to everybody that we meet. Yes, it may be uncomfortable at times, but if they turn us a cold shoulder, they're not turning it toward us. They're turning it toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will have to answer for that. That's between them and God. All we are supposed to do is share the gospel and then encourage them and disciple them and baptize them. Now let me ask you, how much would it take to stop you from persevering as a witness? Or how little would it take? Shun Fujimoto persevered, and as a result, his team won the gold medal. And after the whole ordeal was over, after he had recuperated, it was asked of him, would you do it again? And he said, absolutely no. But my hope tonight is that 20 years from now, 10 days from now, that if each one of us is asked, would you witness and persevere in the face of circumstances and uncertainty and inconvenience, we would say, absolutely. I wouldn't back down from it. I would do it again without a hesitation, because that's why the Lord Jesus Christ has me here on this earth.